Welcome to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. I'm your host, Matt Bruce, and on Troop Talk Radio, you'll hear our brave military men and women in their own words from wherever they're serving America in the global war on terror from. And now, let's get started with this week's show. Thank you for tuning in to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. Welcome, everybody, to Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops. And we are speaking today to another soldier serving over in one of the forward AORs. This time, we're speaking with Sergeant Dana Huffman, who happens to be from Columbia, South Carolina, calling us live from Baghdad, Iraq. Sergeant Huffman, how are you doing today?
It's a little hot.
Oh, I imagine. But do us a favor and do yourself a favor and say a hello to everybody and anybody who might be listening, including your friends in South Carolina.
Well, hello, Columbia. Mom, Dad, and my rest of my family in Gamecock Country. I'm sure it's all of you and I'm home a bunch.
All right. Well, you're currently serving in Baghdad with the 321st ITAM Air. Now, what is it that they do for the great U.S. of A?
Well, our unit currently advises the Iraqi Air Force on how to set up their Air Force and basically run it like we do in America.
Now, when you say Air Force, what type of aircraft are they flying right now over there?
Right now, they're in the process of purchasing various types of aircraft. Right now, they just got the helicopters, and they've got a couple of C-130s, but that's all for right now.
Okay, how long have you been in Iraq, Sergeant?
I'm working on my ninth month. I have a one-year tour.
So you're a short timer.
Pretty much. I got 100 days and counting.
All right. Well, I know that feeling from years ago. Now, Sergeant, what was the biggest adjustment? You said it's hot over there, but what was the biggest adjustment going from the States over to Iraq?
Leaving my children and my husband behind.
And I know that's rough, but is it fairly easy to communicate with them, say, by the computer and Skype and email and all that?
Oh, yes, yes. There's been great lengths taken to make sure that we have the ability to communicate with our family. Well, a lot of times we'll get free calls at home. AT&T provides a really great service for family members and for active duty members. We have free internet through SPAWAR, which is operated by the Navy. And, of course, they have a service here through MIT and the AFES program that allows us to purchase personal internet. And we can Skype and call home and get on the internet. Not as fast as home, but it's better than nothing.
All right, and folks, we're speaking today with Sergeant Dana Huffman. She's over in Baghdad, Iraq, her hometown, Columbia, South Carolina, with the 321st ITAM Air over there supporting the Iraqi Air Force. Well, Sergeant, how long have you been in the military?
3.5 years.
And are you planning on making a career out of it?
I believe so.
Okay, and you know, they say never volunteer in the Army, but have you volunteered to take some of that higher educational training and perhaps go after a degree of some sort?
Oh, absolutely. In the Air Force and all the services, they pay 100% tuition. So, yes, absolutely.
So I guess that means we can see you at a South Carolina Gamecocks football game coached by Steve Spurrier, the ex-Florida coach, sometime soon when you get back, huh?
Absolutely. I'm really rooting for him. I think this is going to be their year. I'm really praying.
Yep. Could very well be. They've got a very good team. And, folks, we are speaking today live, Baghdad, Iraq, with Sergeant Dana Huffman. She's with the 321st ITAM Air over there, hometown Columbia, South Carolina. Well, what kind of day do you have when you go to work over there? About what time do you rise and shine, and what time do you pack it in, Sergeant?
Well, it's about dark 30 sometimes, but usually I get up at around 0600, and the day ends right around 1800. I work on comm requirements and helping the Iraqi Air Force and their equipment sometimes, and basically taking care of my unit and their comm requirements.
Well, I am very much aware of what Oh Dark 30 means, because I get up at that time in the morning all the time, and my little noisy dog likes to go outside and walk around and see all his pals, and, you know, that's his best time of the day, because it's nice and cool yet, because it's kind of hot down here in Florida, hot in South Carolina, but you said it was roaring, raging hot over there. What's the temperature today, do you know?
Today was, right now it's peaking right at about 121.
Wow. No way, no way. You can have that, and I'm sure you'll love to get back in South Carolina weather as soon as you can.
Oh, yes, yes, absolutely.
All right, well, Sergeant Huffman, everybody wants to know, when they send things to the troops, what is it that you would really like to get that you don't seem to be able to get from home? So tell the audience what it is you'd like to get over there.
Oh, we get so much, and we really appreciate it. Some of the things that would be really nice to have is baby wipes. We always like the baby wipes. We can't seem to get enough of those. That really helps us keep in the dust cleaned off our face and hands.
Yep.
And we love Rice Krispie treats. Any kind of chips from home is great.
Okay, as long as it's not chocolate, because it'd melt before it got there, right?
Pardon me, sir?
As long as it's not chocolate, because it'd melt before it got there, right?
Unfortunately. It's been chocolate in the wintertime over here. It gets a little cooler here, and it's pretty decent, but now, chocolate would not be ideal. It would be very melted before it got.
Well, I have been told from my impeccable female interviewees that I've spoken to in the past, not only in Iraq, but in Afghanistan and Qatar and other places around the world serving America, that they always like getting the nice, smelly stuff. Is that true?
Absolutely. It would be nice if we got some nice lotions and bath gels and anything that smells like a flower or citrus. It'd be anything that doesn't smell like a guy.
Or sand. Or sand, right? All right, and we're speaking, folks, today with Sergeant Dana Huffman. She is over in Baghdad, Iraq, with the 321st ITAM Air Group, and her hometown, Columbia, South Carolina. She's all about the Gamecocks. That's her favorite team. Now, I'm assuming that when you get home, other than dropping down to kiss the ground, the first thing you're going to do is look for your family, right?
Absolutely.
All right, and then...
and a husband.
All right, very good. And then as things progress along, do you have something you do you want to do when you get home? What's the first thing you want to do?
I want to drink the tallest ice-cold beer you can imagine.
All right, and I'm sure that there's plenty of those places around Columbia, if not very far from the college campus, too, right?
Five Points is a pretty cool place to hang out, especially at Sharky's.
There you go. See, I knew you knew where that was. I just had a feeling about that one. And Sergeant Huffman, a couple more questions here. Does your family have a military history?
Absolutely. My father-in-law and my father, my husband, and both of my grandfathers have all served in the U.S. Army.
Okay, and you found your way over to Baghdad. And what people always want to know about Iraq is... It seems to, and correct me if I'm wrong, it seems to be that the Iraqis have stood up much taller, much prouder. They seem to be taking charge of their country and their own destiny. Am I wrong in that, or am I seeing what I'm seeing?
You're absolutely right. They have a strong, they're very proudful, and they enjoy having the Americans here. They've really learned a lot from us, and they're embracing a lot of our advice to them and incorporating it into their own world and making their own military their own. And they're ready to stand up on their own. They're doing a great job. They really are.
And I'm sure you've made a lot of friends over there whom you're going to miss, but you'll probably be able to stay in contact with via email and the mail, right?
Oh, absolutely. They're really friendly people. They're very caring. And right now they're going through something called Ramadan. It's kind of like our Christmas.
Yes.
Religious holiday.
Yes.
And so during the heat, during the day, they don't eat or drink. But at night, it's a party every night for them. They get to eat. They get to drink their favorite drinks and stuff like that, teas, fruit juices, what have you. And they're, for the majority of them, they're very friendly people, very God-fearing, very loving. And they really enjoyed having us here. Despite some of the reports that you might see on the news, yes, there are bombings and stuff, but that's just a country that's resurrecting from an old regime that's making their own way. And I believe wholeheartedly that they will, with our help.
Absolutely. And folks, we've been speaking today with Sergeant Dana Huffman. She is over in Baghdad, Iraq, calling us live from there with the 321st ITAM Air Unit over there. Her hometown's Columbia, South Carolina. And one last time, Sergeant, give a shout out to everybody and anybody that's listening. And keep in mind, those people serving over there with you in Iraq will be able to hear us via the podcast a little bit later and the DIVIDS website, the DOD DIVIDS website.
All right. Well, I want to thank the people of America and my hometown, Columbia, so much for your support. Mom, Dad, I love you. Dad Huffman, Missy, can't wait to see the new baby, my new niece that's already here. And go Gamecocks.
Okay, folks, the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio rolls on, and I've got two famous last words from a fire rescue captain for you, Sergeant Huffman. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Stay low.
Well.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
200,000 men and women who proudly served in our uniforms are on our streets tonight. Homeless veterans deserve the most from our government, but they're getting the least. The Circle of Friends for American Veterans has been fighting for veterans since 1993. Let's get homeless veterans back into homes and jobs and society. Please take just 1 minute to visit vetsvision.org, because when we take care of our veterans, we take care of our country. Visit vetsvision.org.
Homeowners, did you know a burglar could break into your home and get away in just 5 minutes? A locked door may not be enough to keep a thief out of your home. Think about what you can lose, and then think about this. Now you can get a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-800-860-0392. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. So call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-800-860-0392. $99 installation charge. 36-month monitoring agreement at $35.99 a month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now. 1-800-860-0392. That's 1-800-860-0392.
We're talking to you 24-7, 365.
NewsTalkFlorida.com. And hello and welcome, everybody, to the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops, where we bring you the voices of the troops in their own words from wherever they happen to be stationed around the world, serving America in the global war on terror. And today we have a senior airman. Her name is Shelly Mancintron, and she's calling us from an undisclosed location. And Airman Cintron, please give a shout out to everybody and anybody who might be listening today.
I just want to send a shout out to my mom and Mariel Guzman, who's also deployed, and everyone in Florida.
All right, very good. Now, what do you do for the Air Force over there?
Basically, just an administrative personnel responsibility for all of our members out here in the desert.
Okay, and your duties, I'm sure, involve some sort of schedule or regimen, so give us an idea what time you rise and shine and what time you pack it in.
I get up about 2 hours prior to my shift at 4:30, and then I do whatever I need to do to get to work, and then I just start my day off catching all the flights coming in to keep accountability for all of them.
Now, your job that you do for the Air Force, in civilian terms, would that be something we'd find someone doing at, like, an airport?
Being in the desert, yes. It's different from being stateside, but yes, it would be about the same.
And folks, we're speaking with Senior Airman Shelly Mar Clint. I know I'm going to butcher this. Cintron, is it Cintron? Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. See, I butchered it. I'm glad you corrected me with that. And she is talking to us live today from an undisclosed location in Southeast Asia. So basically, what was the biggest change, the biggest switch for you going from wherever you were at your last duty assignment to where you're at now? Was it the weather or was it something different?
It would definitely have to be the time schedule. Back home, I'm on day shift. We're here. I am still on day shift, but when my day shift is nighttime back home. So the time schedule is completely swapped for me.
Okay, now how is it communicating with your family and friends? Are you able to do that pretty easy?
It's kind of a hassle because it's either I gotta stay up late or they have to stay up late. We try to find a medium in between that of who's gonna stay up late. The weekend, I'll stay up late. If it's the weekdays, they'll have to stay up late.
Okay, and Airman Cintron, the other question that everybody wants to know is if anybody listening to this broadcast wanted to send you or your unit something, what is it that we could send you that you really want to get instead of what you're getting?
What I would really want, the care packages we get are just so awesome. Probably no gummy bears is a big thing. No, nothing that that.
In other words, some good back home candy.
Yeah, some good back home candy and coffee. Oh Lord, coffee is wonderful around here.
Okay, and we're talking about, you know, maybe going to Starbucks or, you know, one of those places and buying something to send you something special, right?
Yeah, flavored coffee is always nice, but even regular coffee can be pretty difficult to get around.
It is the way I make it. And folks who are speaking with senior airman, her name is Shelly Mar Cintron, and she's calling us from an undisclosed location in Southeast Asia. Well, airman, the people that you're serving with, tell us what makes you the proudest about the unit that you're with right now. What's really outstanding that we need to know about your unit?
We service people 24/7, no matter what time, what day it is. It's just the excellence that they do. No matter how tired doing 12-hour shifts or working 6 days or 7 days, how many days they have to work, they're always there for the customer, always there to make sure everything's good to go and everything's being accounted for. No matter what, we're here for our people. So I think that's amazing.
Okay, very good. Now, the other question I've got for you is I've heard that the women do like some things from home, and the gals that I've spoken to in the military tell me that ladies like to be ladies, so they always like some of that nice, smelly stuff that we can send you from home. Is that true?
Yes, we love our Victoria's Secret lotions and our body central lotions, whatever smells good. I mean, we're still women. We still want to feel like a woman at the end of the day. So it's not the easiest things to get around here because as soon as we get them, it's gone. So, yeah, definitely anything. I mean, you know, we still try to look a little bit presentable, even if it's just tactical lip gloss or our lotion to make us smell good at the end of the day.
And folks, we're speaking with Senior Airman Shelly Mar Cintron, calling us live from an undisclosed location over in Southeast Asia right now. Now, what do you do in your spare time?
What do I do in my spare time? That's not much. For the most part, I just exercise. We do have a pool around here, so after whatever couple hours I have, I'll try to go and keep in shape and go to the pool or hang out there with the people who have the same time off that I do. So I like to just relax as best as I can.
Now, are you taking any college classes or something like that to further your education?
At the moment, I'm not, but I'm more of a, I like to be in class, so I'm definitely excited to be home and get all that started.
Have you picked out a school then you want to go to when you get back to the States?
Yes, I'm already registered at Northwest Community College.
Okay, well, very good. So it sounds like you've got some career goals. Now, do you have something in mind, or do you want to be in the Air Force the rest of your life, or are you looking for something different?
I would definitely love to do a 20-year tour and be here the rest of my life. Nothing's ever promised, so I'm going to try to do both paths the best way I can. I'm going to do my college and still be in for the best that I can. My dad always told me, you got to stay in until they kick you out.
Well, there's some truth to that. And folks, we're speaking with Senior Airman Shelley Marcentron, calling us from an undisclosed location in Southeast Asia. Okay, just a couple of more questions for you, Senior Airman. First of all, does your family have a military history?
Yes, they do. Most of my family is in the military, starting from me, my brother, my dad, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, cousins, my aunts and uncles. I have a majority of my family in the military.
Is anyone serving with you right now?
No. My aunt is stationed with me at my base in Florida, but she's actually currently deployed to a different location.
Okay. Very good. And finally, I want you to tell me what it is you're the proudest about in your service with the United States Air Force. What's the one thing stands out that you're the proudest of accomplishing?
I really don't know.
Well, okay. How about the current deployment you're on? Something stand out in your mind right now? Your unit, maybe? Okay. Well, I've given you enough help. Obviously, you've got other things that are coming to mind. But we are very proud to be able to speak to you guys and gals over there in the theater, telling us what's going on, and we're proud to know that you're doing a great job, because you are. Now, finally, Senior Airman Shelley Marcentron, please give a shout out to everybody and anybody that's listening again, including your home unit over there, who could hear you later via the podcast.
I want to give a shout out to all my members of Eglin Air Force Base, especially the 96th FSS, and I just want to give a shout out to everyone in Florida, my mom, my aunt Marielle Guzman, who's deployed to a different location, and just all my deployed members. I know 9/11 just passed, and I just want to give a remembrance to that.
Well, thank you very much. And folks, we've been speaking today with Senior Airman Shelley Marcentron, calling us live from overseas in Southeast Asia at an undisclosed location. And thank you very much, Airman Centron. And I've got one last message for you. You ready?
Yes, sir.
This is from a firefighter, and this is our creed in the fire service. Stay low.
Sure will.
All right, we'll be right back, folks. Don't go anywhere.
200,000 men and women who proudly served in our uniforms are on our streets tonight. Homeless veterans deserve the most from our government, but they're getting the least. The Circle of Friends for American Veterans has been fighting for veterans since 1993. Let's get homeless veterans back into homes and jobs and society. Please take just 1 minute to visit vetsvision.org, because when we take care of our veterans, we take care of our country. Visit vetsvision.org today.
Attention, all Medicare beneficiaries who need assistance getting around their homes. There is a Medicare benefit that may qualify you for a power chair or scooter at little to no cost to you. Imagine one scooter or power chair that could improve your mobility and your life. One Medicare benefit that, with private insurance, may entitle you to pay little to nothing to own it. One company that can make it all happen.
Your power chair will be paid in full.
The Scooter Store.
Hi, I'm Doug Harrison. We're experts at getting you the power chair or scooter you need. In fact, if we qualify you for Medicare reimbursement and Medicare denies your claim, we'll give you your power chair or scooter free.
I didn't pay a penny out of pocket for my power chair.
Call the Scooter Store for free information today.
Call 1-800-222-8979. Some restrictions apply. Call for details. 1-800-222-8979. That's 1-800-222-8979.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio, voice of the troops, on your favorite radio station. And And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Captain's America and Troop Talk Radio, voice of the troops, heard across America and around the world every week here on your favorite radio station. Today, we are going to an undisclosed location with a United States Air Force Staff Sergeant who's originally from Rockledge, Florida. He's got relatives in Merritt Island. I understand he has a girlfriend in the Tampa Bay area. His name is Staff Sergeant Daniel Bava. Did I say that right, Staff Sergeant?
You did, sir. Rhymes with lava.
All right, very good. Now, first of all, we want to give you an opportunity to give a shout-out to your girlfriend and your relatives in the Florida area, so go right ahead, Staff Sergeant.
Well, thank you, sir. I'd like to say hey to Lindsay. She works there at Barnes & Noble in Clearwater, formerly from Brandon. My grandma in Merritt Island. And the Thompsons in Orlando. Miss you all.
There you go. And what's the weather like over there where you're at today? Is it, we've got kind of overcast skies, a little bit of rain in the horizon, and we got a brand new tropical storm by the name of Katia that'll probably be a hurricane staring Florida in the face sometime early next week. So what's the weather like over there?
It's not as windy, but we're enjoying a cool day. It's only about 110 today.
Okay, well, we never see that in Florida unless you're out somewhere cooking eggs on the tarmac at an airbase. And, folks, we are speaking with United States Air Force Staff Sergeant Daniel Bava. He's calling us from an undisclosed location in Southwest Asia, serving in the Air Force. Now, you have a very interesting job, Staff Sergeant. Tell us what your job is for the Air Force.
The unclassified version is that we detect, monitor, characterize, and geolocate enemy satellite communications. So if they're messing with our deployed guys in Afghanistan and Iraq, we try to find out where they're coming from.
Nah, nobody from China or Russia would try to do that, would they?
We're any enemy. We deal with them all, sir.
I got it. And again, folks, we're speaking live with United States Air Force Staff Sergeant Daniel Bava. He's calling us from overseas on his assignment over there. Now, this is your second deployment, I believe, in overseas. Is that right, Staff Sergeant?
That's correct. I've been out here for 2 summers in a row.
Okay, what makes the second deployment different than the first? Is it all you expected it to be and you really liked it, so there you are?
I would say this is a little more enjoyable. I've had some rough personal times with losing a grandfather out of the Merritt Island area. He passed away. But it's been still a very fulfilling deployment because I have one under my belt already and I'm more experienced, more prepared for it this year.
Now, are you continuing your education while you're in the Air Force? Is that something that you're doing?
I am, sir. Not at this particular day, but I am looking at some my graduate program, possibly Embry-Riddle over there in East Coast of Florida.
And, folks, we're speaking with United States Air Force Staff Sergeant Daniel Bava. And, of course, he is serving his country proudly over in the theater somewhere in Southwest Asia at an undisclosed location. And he deals with the satellite technology. When the bad guys come snooping looking for us, then he's looking for them, too. Now, I understand that the training and the assignment, being a Florida lad, when you enlisted in the Air Force, you probably thought you might be close to home because there's all kinds of air bases in Florida, but you found out most of these assignments are in Colorado, correct?
That's right, sir. I was moved around Florida, but I'm originally from Rockledge in DeVart County, and I was there when Challenger blew up in 86. It made me be more interested in space, and when I joined, I signed up to the space systems operations, thinking I'm back to Florida. It turns out that most of our jobs are in Colorado Springs, Colorado area.
Now, your unit was the June 2011 recipient of what, the BOSS Award? What is that?
We actually won a squadron, group level, and wing level Team of the Month award. When I originally wrote you about this, we had won the EOSS, which is our squadron. We've since won the group and wing Team of the Month award for June.
Well, congratulations. Way to go. And kudos to you and your unit. And, you know, it's always nice to know somebody that's going above and beyond the ladder, if you will, with their assignment in the military. And, folks, we're speaking with United States Air Force Staff Sergeant Daniel Bava over in an undisclosed location serving the Air Force overseas. Well, how about the food? I understand sometimes the food leaves a lot to be desired. How's the food over there?
Well, I really couldn't complain too much. We have good food. I love Friday. It's pasta day. Tortellini. My family's Italian heritage, so lasagna and tortellini are my favorite. It's kind of repetitive, though. So I alternate with butterscotch and my pasta on Friday, and those are my two highlights of the week.
And Staff Sergeant Bava, people like to pick up hobbies. Sometimes they take their hobbies with them when they go overseas on assignment. What are the hobbies that you've picked up over there on your duty assignment? What are you doing from your spare time?
Well, it's not a new hobby, but I've been reading quite a bit. I probably read two, maybe three books a week, and I've been working on German a little bit, not working as much as I should, but I do use various online education tools, and I take in some German.
Very good. And folks, we're speaking with Rockledge, Florida's native, and he found his way up into Colorado working with the satellites, if you will, detecting attacks from above, far beyond. And of course, we've heard about Staff Sergeant Bava, we've heard about reading in the newspapers here the incidents involving the Chinese and a general let slip the other day that they were doing some eavesdropping on us and all that sort of stuff. I guess if you know what to do, it's a pretty easy thing to do, or at least it sounded like it, the way the general just all of a sudden blurted it out in the middle of a meeting he was having, and the press picked up on it right away.
Yes, sir. I would, with proper training, we're very prepared for what we do. It's not easy, though. I spent 5 months in California training for the job initially, then came to Colorado and spent, you know, it's an ongoing education, really, but it's a few months before we come out here that we train every day. And it's a constantly changing satellite industry. We always have to keep up with what the adversaries and even what our allies are doing.
Now, Staff Sergeant, my last question is, do you have a family military history?
I do, yes, sir. My father is actually in the National Guard out of North Carolina now. That's where him and my mother and siblings live. He's CE. He does plumbing now. He's done radio and everything over the years. I have an uncle in Antonio who's a retired navigator, and my grandfather, who just passed away, was an engineer in the Marines shortly after World War II.
Okay, and folks, we've been speaking today with United States Air Force Staff Sergeant Daniel Bava. He is from Rockledge, Florida. He's got a girlfriend over here in the Tampa Bay area. His relatives live over in the Merritt Island area. And one last time, give a shout out to everybody that's listening, Staff Sergeant.
Lindsay and Grandma, my cousins, and Mom and Dad in North Carolina, I miss you all. I can't wait to see you. And I love you all.
Okay, folks, the Captain's America Radio Show and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troop, rolls on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Feels like time's running out. Maxed out on your credit cards. Collection calls are coming every day, and you're two payments behind on your mortgage. You need help. We're Credit Card Relief, and we've been helping people just like you for nearly a decade. Call Credit Card Relief right now. The consultation is free, and the relief is real.
Call 1-866-909-5454. Not available in all states. Call 1-866-909-5454. That's 1-866-909-5454.
Attention! Caribbean Cruise Line is giving away free cruises to the first 500 callers that register in your area. So get ready to write this number down and act fast. We know that the best type of traveler is a repeat guest, and we're so committed to this philosophy that we're giving away free cruises to prove it. That's right, a free cruise to the Bahamas, including your cabin, all your meals, a full spa, casino, live entertainment, three kids clubs, a kids water park, and more. Come see why we were recently named the best new Bahamas getaway cruise by Porthole Magazine. We're so sure you'll enjoy yourself and become a repeat customer that we're giving you this free cruise vacation for free. There's no catch. You're simply responsible for a small port fee, and your cruise is free. Just call 800-505-0253. That's 800-505-0253. It's over a $500 value, and it's yours free. So call now, 800-505-0253.
That's 800-505-0253.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio on the Phoenix Broadcasting Network. Phoenix Broadcasting, where quality talk radio shows can be heard.
I'm an American soldier, an American.
And hello, everybody, and welcome to the Captain's America and Troop Talk Radio, Voice of the Troops, where every week at this time, we speak with one of our military men or women serving wherever they happen to be, serving America at, around the world, in the global war on terror. And today we have the honor of speaking with United States Air Force Tech Sergeant Priscilla Tillman, and she is in Sather Air Base, Baghdad, Iraq. Tech Sergeant, how you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing good, Matt. How are you?
I am just fine. Listen, we want to give you an opportunity to say hello to everybody and anybody that's listening to the program. And keep in mind, when the podcast goes up later, you'll be able to be heard all around the world, including in Iraq.
Well, I don't have anyone in particular in mind, but I would like to say hello to everybody that's in America. It's truly an honor to be serving out here with all the other armed forces. I was raised in the Air Force. My father retired as a senior master sergeant, which is an E-8. He was fire crash and rescue, and he served 24 years. I've been serving in the Air Force for 15 years. I've had three career fields. My first career field was the medical career field as a dietitian. I did that for 3 years. I served 11 years as a personnelist. And it's coming up a year as being a civil engineer, and I'm with operations management. I currently serve two tours in Iraq. My first tour was at Balad Air Base back in 2004. I was sent to account for the first 2,000 Air Force that were assigned to Army convoys. I did Red Cross notifications and assisted members that were deployed out here with the personnel issues. And I'm currently at Sather Air Base in Baghdad. And what I'm doing out here is I'm the resource advisor, Matt. So I assign the civil engineer shops, such as the structure shop, utilities, power production, the electricians, the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning shops, to receive needed parts from stateside and the local Iraqi vendors. Basically, we do that just to maintain our base operation.
All righty. Well, folks, we are speaking today live with Tech Sergeant Priscilla Tillman over at Sather Air Base in Baghdad, Iraq. What's the biggest difference, Tech Sergeant, between 2004 in Iraq and today?
Well, it seems like we've made a lot of changes in Iraq, you know, especially with the morale with the Iraqis. We do have a lot of Iraqis here that are thankful that we're here, and, you know, they're glad that we have support them, that we've helped build their, you know, their lifestyles. We provide donations to them. With the local Iraqi vendors that I've talked with, you know, they now are able to purchase vehicles. They're able to own their own homes. In the past, they had it where, you know, like the local Iraqi vendor I was talking with said that he was living with his parents, with his wife and his children. So now he's actually working on building a second home for his family.
Now, Tech Sergeant Tillman, do you get an opportunity to work also with the American contractors over there?
We get to be with, we're with them, we're with the Army, we're with the Navy Seabees.
So what are the Americans doing versus the Iraqis in terms of rebuilding the country? Are they doing the same or are they doing different things?
Well, a lot of it is, you know, all convoying, you know, equipment and supplies and stuff like that. And, we just keep building out here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we are making a difference. And, you know, all of us are proud to be out here, and we work long hours, and we work every day, and we work hard at it. And,
Yeah.
That's the greatest thing about being in the military, you know.
Yep. And, folks, we're speaking with United States Air Force Tech Sergeant Priscilla Tillman. Now, she went to college out there in Clovis, New Mexico. Now, a lot of people don't realize that out there in Clovis, New Mexico, and I think I know where you got your Air Force fever from, Cannon Air Force Base, right?
All right, that is correct.
Now, Clovis is a neat little town because it's basically an Air Force town right on the Texas-New Mexico border. And I believe there's a fighter squadron that's stationed there. That's pretty much what they did out of there. But being an Air Force brat, I guess we'll call you that because that's kind of what you were. You moved all around the world, did you, or just around the country?
Well, my parents had separated, you know, when I was younger, so I didn't really get a chance to follow on with my father. I mainly grew up in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, my father was able to go on to Spain and England. But since I've been in, you know, I was able to spend a year in Korea. And, you know, I've done two tours in Iraq so far. And I've still got five more years, you know, to make my 20-year mark. And that's what I'm looking towards, you know, to at least do 20 for my retirement.
So what, Sergeant, would be your goal after retirement? What, you made up your mind what you want to do when you become a civilian?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's just so many job opportunities with the government. So I've seriously thought about, you know, if things are still going on out here with building and maintaining, you know, after I retire in the next 5 years, then I think I'd like to come out here, you know, for a job and work out here for at least a year. Well, there's a lot of civilians that are working as contractors out here, and, you know, they're getting paid well,
right.
And... you know, they're able to...
Yeah, and I got offered a job over there as a firefighter a few years ago for $150,000 a year. The first $75,000 would have been forgiven. But the problem was to go over there, I would have had to have given up my disability in the fire service, and that wasn't going to happen because basically I've got one good leg and one bad leg. But anyway, we are speaking with Tech Sergeant Priscilla Tillman over there, USAF, and she is at the Sather Air Base outside Baghdad, Iraq. Okay, here's the big question of the day. How's the food? How's the chow?
How's the food? How's the chow? It's quite interesting. We have the Indians that feed us, and they're quite entertaining. You know, they play really cool music, and they really work hard and go out of their way to, you know, make the dining facility a pleasurable experience. They go out, you know, all out for decorations. We just recently celebrated on the 18th of September the Air Force's 64th birthday. They personally might like to make, like, really big cakes for us. And the chow is good. You know, we have steak every now and then, sometimes lobster tails. You know, they try to make a variety of meals, you know, like Oriental night, Mexican night.
So what's been the most challenging thing for you to do in going over to your assignment in Iraq? What has challenged you the most?
Well, now we're dealing with, you know, how they're deciding on the drawdown, you know, with us leaving Iraq. And I don't think anybody really knows what's going to happen for sure, you know, when 31 December hit. But, you know, just the drawdown of everything, you know, instead of just coming to a base that's already maintained, now we're all responsible for, you know, the DOD closing shop and the Department of State coming in and helping out.
Okay, and folks, we are speaking with United States Air Force Tech Sergeant Priscilla Tillman. Now, she's went to college in New Mexico, but aren't you from Tennessee? Is that your home neck of the woods?
Yeah, that's where my relatives are all from, mainly northern Alabama and southern Tennessee, and... you know, whenever I go out that way, I end up, you know, picking up that accent.
What'd you think of the Florida Gators beating the Tennessee Volunteers on Saturday?
I'm torn. I'm a Gators. Go Gators.
Yeah, we're down here in Gator country, and I'm a Gator dad. My son graduated from Gatorville up there. But anyway, we won't hold that against you because everybody's got to volunteer for something. But my final question to you, Tech Sergeant Tillman, is what are you looking forward to the most when you get back to the States?
Well, just, you know, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's really hard being away from home. There's so much, you know, you want to do. I mean, mainly to be with your loved ones, you know, your friends, your family. I'm looking forward to at least having, you know, 2 weeks of leave, you know, time off just to wind down and, you know, just take a break from it all. Because, you know, we really do give it our all out here, and it is just hard. It is nonstop from first thing early in the morning to late at night until however long, you know, We need to get the work done.
Well, if you get down here to the Tampa Bay area, you're more than welcome to come by the radio station and shake our hand, and we'd shake your hand and all that good stuff. And we've had a number of the people that have passed through Tampa Bay coming by way of MacDill and whatnot that have done that. So you're more than welcome to do that. And I want to thank you, Tech Sergeant Priscilla Tillman, for being on the Captain's America and Troop Talk Radio today. And I got a message for you over there in Iraq. Are you ready?
Okay.
Stay low. That's a fire department terminology. Your dad would know very much about that one. All right, folks, the Captain's America and Troop Talk Radio rolls on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Every day, the men and women of the United States Marine Corps demonstrate their commitment to defend the American way of life. Since 1775, wherever the mission takes us, we always remember the land we call home. As Marines, we take a stand for our nation, for us all. The few, the proud, the Marines.
You're listening to the Captain's America on News Talk AM 1470 Dunedin.
Is your credit card debt out of control? Are you in over your head dealing with monthly payments? There's a powerful secret the credit card companies don't want you to know. If you have credit card debt, you have the power to settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe, cutting your payments by up to half or more. That's bad news for credit card companies, but it's great news for you. And we'd like to offer you free information that will show you how to settle your credit card debt and lower your payments by up to half or more. It's yours free when you call today. Don't declare bankruptcy. Give us 10 minutes and we could save you thousands. Live better, debt free. Find out how easy it is by calling for this valuable free information.
For the secret the credit card companies don't want you to know, call National Debt Relief today at 1-800-293-9219. 1-800-293-9219. This free information is available only for a limited time. Change your life. Call 1-800-293-9219 today.
We're talking to you 24-7, 365.
NewsTalkFlorida.com.
I love working for Uncle Sam.
I love working for Uncle Sam.
Let me know just who I am.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Captain's America radio show. We've got the Coast Guard in the house from Coast Guard Station Cortez. We have got Boatswain's Mate Brian Hostetter, and he's sitting here talking to us today, 866-977-4820. If you've got any questions for Brian, 866-977-4820. Okay, Brian, back to the boat that you're on. How big is that Coast Guard vessel?
Okay, so we've got a 24-foot, a 25, and a 45.
And the crew consists of how many?
Generally four people on the crew, and you're going to have three crewmen and a coxswain, which is basically the person in charge of that.
Okay, now let's say I'm going out in my family boat, and I've got a 25 and a half foot aft cabin cruiser, which I used to have, and I've got four or five people on board. What's the first thing, besides my safety equipment, that I should be thinking about?
Safety equipment, probably owning the boat, you'd have some boating experience, but that's probably a great thing to have, is some experience. Knowledge of the area that you are in, and then just the safety equipment, all the way from the life jackets to the signaling devices.
How about a device called an EPIRB? Those are very important these days, aren't they?
EPIRBs are probably the best thing you could have in terms of actually locating somebody, and that's a great tool where we can actually get a great GPS fix on your
position.
Now,
we do have a caller on the line. We want to go to the caller. We've got Preston in Bradenton. Hey, Preston, what's your question? Hello, Preston.
Curious. How's it going? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can now, yes.
Okay. I was just curious, does the Coast Guard deal with, like, marine wildlife and stuff? Sometimes I have manatees that are out in my front yard and out in the bay. I didn't know if Coast Guard deals with them or what's going on with that.
Okay. Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, we do environmental protection, but on state waters like that, it's generally the job of FWC, Florida Wildlife Conservation, and they'll generally deal with issues of marine life like that. But just watching out for people on the water, making sure they're obeying those slow speeds and no wake zones.
Yeah, Preston, you're in a zone that's probably got one of those, 5 mile an hour no wake signs up there?
That's correct. Yeah, it's a manatee zone.
Okay. And the Coast Guard does enforce that, don't they, Brian?
Yeah, we have an option to enforce as well as the state and local guys do.
All right. Well, Preston, thanks. Thanks for your question, Preston.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, folks, 866-977-4820, 866-977-4820, if you've got any questions for our Coast Guardsman, Brian Hostetter. All right, how about a float plan? I've always been told, and I always did this, having a float plan and telling somebody where you're going, coming out of your marina or one of your neighbors or something like that, in case you're overdue and somebody needs to go looking for you, they at least know where to start.
Yeah, we deal with the overdue cases quite often, and a float plan is the greatest tool for us in trying to figure out what happened, what went wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And a float plan is generally something that the boater will make up ahead of time. They're going to know their intended route, intended destination, and where and when they're going to be coming back. A lot of times people will call in saying their husband or wife has gone out, and they weren't really sure what time they were going to be back or where they were going to go. And there's a big ocean out there, so it's hard to just start looking over the whole ocean for somebody. So it's a float plan is just something that you make up what time you plan on being back and the route you're going to take to get somewhere and where you're going to go. Helps us track down these people a lot easier.
866-977-4820 if you have any questions. 866-977-4820 for our Coast Guardsman Brian Hostetter from Coast Guard Station Cortez. Okay, here's another question for you. Sailboats, they drive people nuts out on the water, because I do believe sailboats have the right of way because they are wind powered, right?
They do indeed. The only time they wouldn't have the right of way is when they're under motor power, which they can be a lot of people don't know that, but
right,
when they're under motor power, they're just the same as any power driven vessel.
Now, I used to spend a lot of time in the St. Lawrence Seaway, going up the lee shore of Lake Ontario along the shoreline up into the Seaway, and you get the great big ocean going ships that would be up there with my little dinghy, it seemed like, going up against some of those Great Lakes freighters that were several hundred feet long. You hear the vessels coming at you, and every now and then you'd hear one blast or two blasts. And when you heard the ones where you had the three blast, do you, I'm sure you know, what was the significance between the big boat doing the blasting? I know he was telling people what he was doing, but what was the significance?
Yeah, that's just letting whoever they're coming into close proximity to what their intention is, whether it be navigating to port or starboard or operating astern. When you start hearing the five rapid shorts is when you know you gotta... You got a real issue on your hands.
Yeah, yeah. And I take a look at that channel when I go over the Skyway Bridge every day down there with the marker buoys down there. That doesn't look wide enough for two big ships to go through there in a couple spots. How the heck did they do that?
They got some great pilots in Tampa Bay. That's about all I could say.
I'm telling you. I mean, when you look at the size of those freighters and even that passenger ship that comes out by itself at night, you know, the different cruise liners that we have here, you look at those cruise ships coming out there, you couldn't put two of those things side by side in that channel. You really couldn't.
Yeah, so it's a lot of it is done over radio now, just communicating ahead of time.
And folks, we're speaking with United States Coast Guardsman Brian Hostetter. He's from Coast Guard Station Cortez. He is a boatswain's mate, and he's a boat crew member, boarding team member, watch standard, deck department member. Well, here we go. Law enforcement. The Coast Guard does a lot of stuff with the law enforcement agencies. They get out there. I realize drugs, protecting our coastline. We've heard about these submarines that are floating around out there, coming up from South America, Central America. How much of that that you can tell us about, how much of that is actually taking place in this area?
There's always a watchful eye being kept out in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, South Florida has a lot more going on in terms of that than Northern Florida does, but I can say that the eyes are open and they're looking around up here.
Yeah, and the Coast Guard helicopters, the CH-60s that are up there and the C-130s, they do a lot of overhead observation. And I know the other night we had a C-130 pilot on the program last week. He talked about they were called away from a law enforcement mission to go out on a rescue and locate this boat that was overdue and had capsized, and then the helicopter came out and picked him up. But these are the things that you guys do, and people don't
understand that you have a very important job in the scheme of things, and I've heard people refer to you as shallow water sailors and all sorts of things, but I'll tell you what, when you get in trouble out there, you certainly are looking for the racing stripe coming at you, aren't you?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, run us through what an average call would be on Channel 16 that would get your attention.
There's a lot of different calls that would get our attention, and some of them that you might think would get our attention that don't, that are surprising to a lot of people. But any type of emergency, so you have a boat on fire, you have a capsized vessel, you've got a man overboard, people in the water, and any sort of medical injury, we're going to be basically the ambulance on the water transporting people back to shore.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the non-emergency things would be being aground without any injuries. A lot of people like to call us, but we don't really consider that an emergency. We do care that you're aground, but it's just kind of like if you're on the road and you have a flat tire, there's a service you can call that will come and get you, a commercial salvage service that will get you. But definitely in any life-threatening emergency.
Right.
Heading out that door pretty quick.
And we've got about a minute and a half left here. And, Brian, the other thing I want to go through is proper radial procedure, because it drives me up the wall being a firefighter and having to use all the different codes that we did. And I hear somebody come on Channel 16, because I monitor the frequency on a regular basis, saying, "Hello? Anybody there? I need help. Hello? I need help." The proper terminology, if you are in serious trouble, is one word: mayday, mayday, mayday. Am I wrong?
That is absolutely correct.
And why is it that we don't hear the boats people, the operators out there doing it? They're doing everything else but. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's surprising, but I think it's just a boating education. A lot of people haven't really had the experience yet to know the proper procedure, but we do like to preach it.
Okay, well, before we sign off here, Brian, and folks, we've been speaking with the United States Coast Guardsman Brian Hostetter from Coast Guard Station Clearwater. Give another shout-out to your buddies, please.
I wanted to give a shout-out to the Coast Guard Station Cortez, as well as the air station for helping me get on here, and anybody else listening from back home.
All right. Well, Brian, I want to thank you very much for coming in today. Good luck to you, and God bless you, and thanks for your service.
I appreciate it. It's an honor to serve, Captain. Thank you.
All right, folks, the Captain's America Radio Show rolls on when we come back after the bottom of the hour news.
You're listening to Troop Talk Radio on the Phoenix Broadcasting Network. Phoenix Broadcasting, where quality talk radio shows can be heard.
All right, folks, that's Troop Talk Radio, voice of the troops for this week here on the Troop Talk Radio Network, wherever you happen to be listening to us from. We thank you for tuning in. Tell your friends about Troop Talk Radio and go to the podcast, trooptalkradio.podomatic.com, 24/7 to hear what the military's saying in their own words. God bless America. See you all next time. American soldier.